He's praying so that we can hear how well we're loved, how well we're taken care of, how God has got his eyes on us all the time, and he's listening at every moment. You just, if you're too weak to pray, you can bow down and the Holy Spirit prays for you with groanings that cannot be uttered. When you get down, you say, I don't know what to pray. No words are coming. And then you just sit there and if you want, start praising or just sit there and breathe because God's got this.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts as we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse-by-verse, through the Bible. Jesus prays for His disciples as our study of John continues in chapter 17, verse 13. Here's Pastor Bob.
Now, I come to you, and these things I speak here, this is what I'm praying, in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. He is praying his prayer from his heart to the Father and letting us hear it so that we'll have joy. While I was with them on the earth, Jesus says, I was right, you gave them to me. And I held on to them. I cared for them. I protected them. I defended them. I made sure they ate. I answered their questions. And sometimes I would use parables to help them grasp concepts, just like a good teacher would do. While I was with them here on the earth, I kept them. Language protected, secured them, kept them secure and safe. But I'm coming back to you, Father. And now, as Jesus continues to pray, he tells us right here why he is allowing all of us, not just those 11, but we're reading it. They wrote it down for us. Thank you, God. And the Holy Spirit brings all this to their memory. We're hearing it because there's a special reason he's praying it out loud so that we get to listen. And he says it. So that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Pleroo is the word. Pleroo is Greek. It means fulfilled. But it's really two words in our language. And it's turned around in our language. Pleroo means to be filled full. That's what the word fulfilled means. Fulfilled. We're filled full, or we're supposed to be filled full with his joy. Pleroo means to be completely filled full, or to become as full as is possible, to hold all the joy without exploding and without overflowing, right, and cracking up. This is all the joy of Jesus Christ in your life. I saw a little girl dancing with a corn dog. It's just a very short little video, but I looked at that smile and she's just being as silly as she could be. And I thought, why can't I do that? That's the joy of the Lord right there, because there are no problems. You have a corn dog and they've got a fan blowing in her face, making her hair wave, and she's dancing. How could you be? That's full of joy. And you say, that's so silly. Unless you become like little children, you cannot even enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's the joy of the Lord right there. You get up in the morning and you say, it doesn't matter what today holds. Man, God is good, and it's going to be hard to keep from laughing out loud and just singing all day. Because even the bad times are good. Have you noticed it in Jesus Christ? Even the times that are tough, there's a joy there. There's a peace that says, I've got this because God's got it. But we walk around looking like lemon tasters because, you know, everything is so hard. It's hard to be me. It's hard to be me than it is you. You told me it's hard to be you than it is me. Pleroo, to be completely filled full, or to become as full as is possible. So let's say it this way. Jesus prays to the Father, now I'm coming to you, and I'm leaving them down here in this world of trials and troubles and persecution and tribulations and misunderstandings and yuck. I hate to use large words, but there you go. Yuck. I pray that their hearts may be filled full with my joy all the time. That's why he's letting us listen to this prayer. I always wondered, why did he want us to hear it? There's a lot of cool things in it, and I'm thrilled that we got it, but you're missing it if the joy doesn't take over. Get your corn dog and start moving. I pray that their hearts may be filled full of joy. I have given them thy word. Boy, I like that. One of the things that we want to make sure we never do is stop teaching the word. There's a temptation to do it, and many churches are out there already. They bit into the temptation. So they're giving little sermonettes. You know, you got 15 minutes. You know, in sermonettes, everybody are for Christianettes. We want to grow up. And he says, I have given them, who's them? Those that are his. I've given them thy word. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I have given them your word. If you really honestly want to help someone in their trials, in their struggles, don't give them the advice that worked for you. Don't tell them how to handle that wife, how to handle that, how to handle that job. Give them the word of God. If you really want to give someone some encouragement, something that they can stand on, something that they can lean and run to and hang on, give them God's word. To give them God's word, you have to know God's word. To give them God's word, me and you, we have to be in God's word. So when someone says, I'm struggling with this at work, and you say, well, here's what God says, and then you just give them what scripture comes into your heart. So look, put it all together. I've given them your word, and they received it. He already said it earlier. They've received my word. They're listening. We're receiving his word. We're listening to it. We're asking God to show us how to understand it and to show us how to walk in that, right? And because the world hates me, I've given them your word. They've received it. Now the world hates them. The world hates you. Quit acting like you're going to fit right in and just not show up. You stand out like a bright light on a dark, dark hill. You can't be hidden. See, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. You can see the light from miles and miles. With the little children saying, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Just be who you are. Not weird, not bizarre. Be who you are in Jesus Christ. Because the world hates you, hates me. Because Jesus said, because they hate me, they hate you. Don't walk around thinking if the church would just do this, be a little bit more user-friendly, would be that more people, you're going to compromise and you're going to be out of the will and the word of God. And now your light is hidden. Nobody lights a candle and then covers it with something so people can't see it. The idea when it gets dark is to light the candle so people can see around the room. Unless you have LED, then you can light that. Then he says this, sanctify them through the truth. And you say, okay, well, what is truth? Because people ask a lot, what is truth? Your word is truth. When people ask me, I'll say, well, that's true. They'll say, what is truth? Pilate said it to Jesus. What is truth? The answer is the Word of God. You want truth, go straight to the Word of God. Ahiatzo means, it's translated, sanctify. Ahiatzo. The word means literally to dedicate. Another way to say that, making it easier to understand, to set apart for a special use and a special purpose. If God says to you, I have sanctified you, that means you've been taken and put in a special position to be used for God's glory, set apart for a special use and a special purpose. As you spend time in God's word, as you begin walking according to God's word by the power of the Holy Spirit, applying God's word to our lives, we are being sanctified. So it's not only that I am sanctified, but it is also a process. I am being sanctified. I'm sanctified now, set aside for his use, but I'm being sanctified. In other words, slowly growing. So are you, learning and growing, applying God's word to our hearts and lives. Set apart for God. So we are sanctified, but it's also a process walking through this life. We are being sanctified and changed, and our lives begin to change. We're living different lives. Listen, we may not be perfect, but we're living lives that are honoring to God in heaven through Jesus Christ, his Son. And think about what we're doing here. He says, don't take them out. I want to leave them. They'll be my witnesses. And then he says to us, let your light so shine before men. Just serve. Love them. Let them see you belong to the Father in heaven through Jesus Christ, his Son. Did that because of each one of us. Jesus set himself apart. He was sanctified. Verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. So we put it all together. We're sanctified. Sanctified means to be dedicated, to be set apart for special use. Jesus came to reveal the character, the heart of God, the true character of God, the true person. And he did that, and then he also shed his blood on the cross, paid the price, died there on the cross, was buried, and 3 days later rose again. Now he sends us out to do the same. To do what? To represent God, to let our lights shine. And Jesus says, I set myself apart because of each one of us. For us, he did that so that he could go to the cross at Calvary and pay the price for all sin. That's my sin, Bob's sin, your sin. You could throw your name in there. My sin, everyone who will believe in Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is saying his sanctification is the pattern of and the power of our sanctification. He did it first. He set himself aside to go to that cross. He willingly laid his deity. He was still fully God, but he took on human flesh and he was sanctified, set aside for a specific purpose. And that was to reveal God to all of the world, whoever would look, and then to go to the cross and pay the price. Jesus' sanctification is the pattern of and the power of our sanctification. If Jesus didn't do what he did, we could never be sanctified. We could never be saved. We could never have eternal life. Verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone. And he goes, and by the way, I'm not praying for these 11 alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their name, that they all may be one as you, Father, art in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. He prays that we will be in unity, be one. And the glory which thou gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made mature or complete in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Listen to this. As Jesus prays, we hear his heart to the Father. Listen to his heart. Father, I want to say this to you, and I want them to hear this. I'm not praying for just these 11 men and a few of the women that are back there. I'm not praying just for them. I'm praying for those and everyone who will believe the message that they bring to them. Whoever receives the gospel message, whether you got it from Paul or Peter or Apollos or wherever you, or from Billy Graham, wherever you got it, you're included in this prayer. You belong to the Lord. Jesus was praying for you 2,000 years ago. He says, I'm not praying for these 11 only, but everyone that will believe through the message that they bring. Every true believer is being prayed for all through the entire church age. It's been 2,000 years so far. All through, he's praying for you and me. You and me are included. This prayer is Jesus' prayer for the Father, or to the Father, for me and you. Pastor McDonald wrote this, and I liked it. Every one of us can say this if we're born again. Jesus prayed for me 2,000 years ago and is still praying for me today. He counted me in that prayer. Everything that we read. Now, maybe you ought to go back and see what it really says, starting in chapter 17, verse 1. Maybe you ought to go back and read it again. He prayed a lot of things for us here. A lot of promises in there. A lot of stuff that we ought to know. And he prays for unity among all true believers. And all, every one of them is how many? Everyone. That includes you. That includes me. Should the whole church then all just come together and hold hands and buy a white kitten and buy the world a Coke? No. And I'll tell you why. The true Christian church could do that, but it's scattered around the world. And many of the churches, maybe the majority, are teaching false doctrine. Churches use this verse to try to get all of us to agree to just get along. We will never get along with others who preach false doctrines and manipulate God's word for money. We won't do it. That's between them and God. We're not judging it. We're not going to start doing the tricks and the gimmicks that bring all kinds of people in. We're not going to do it. We're just going to teach the Bible, verse by verse. And you know who we get along with? Every true believer. If you meet them downtown or if you meet them in Texas, every true believer. And we can pray with them and we have fellowship. We go over into Africa. We meet a group of body believers. We don't even speak the same language. We just hold hands and pray. And I'm just thinking, I don't know what he's saying, Lord, but God bless him. He's praying. He's the pastor, right? We're happy with that. So yeah, we need to get along. Now, if you don't get along with your brothers and sisters because you think they're ugly, all right, you're missing it. That doesn't work. But there are doctrinal issues that we can't let go of. There are doctrines that we cannot buy into. It will hurt our own walk. Well, so we will never get along with people that manipulate the Bible to fit their agendas or their practices. Jesus was not praying for the unity of a single worldwide ecumenical church. The worldwide church in the last days will be the church of Antichrist. He's not praying for the unity of one worldwide ecumenical church, no matter what their doctrine is or what their beliefs are. No. He's praying, listen, here it is, for the unity of love, and a unity of obedience to God and his word, and a unity of a commitment to the will of God. If you can find another group like that, then you and your group can hang out with them all day and you're safe and it's solid. I'll say it again. Jesus is praying for the unity of love. In other words, we love people no matter what. Unity of obedience to God and his word, and unity of a commitment to his will. You find that? That's the word of God right there. And then he talks about, and the glory which you gave me in verse 22. Jesus is talking about the glory of the resurrection and ascension. The glory he had before, but remember, God glorified him there on the Mount of Transfiguration, they saw his glory, but God glorified him by allowing to suffer and die, be buried, and rise again from the dead, the glory of his resurrection and his ascension. And we, look what he says, the glory which you gave me, I have given them. We got that? Yeah, what's he talking about? What he's talking about here is this, his glory, the glory of his resurrection and ascension. We will be given resurrected bodies also, and we will ascend to the Father as well, either one at a time or all together at the rapture of the church. And here in verse 23, another one of those things that Jesus prayed that if he would have never said it, I would never repeat it. I would never say this if Jesus didn't say it out loud. Jesus did, so it is absolutely unquestionable, indisputable, undeniable. And here it is. As we walk in this world and live our lives for Jesus Christ, the world will not only realize that Jesus is God the Son, but the world will also know and see that all believers are loved so much by God. God loves the believers, Jesus says, as much as he loves Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. How much do you think God loves Jesus? You couldn't even express it, could you? How much does God love his Son? Let me put it a better way. When Jesus prays, do you ever expect God to say no? And Jesus loves you. I'm sorry, God loves you just as much as he loves Jesus. Now, would he ever say no to me? Am I supposed to take that as Jesus making a mistake here? I'm supposed to take it as you're Bob. And I have no problem saying it out loud. You're Bob. And when I pray, I say, Lord, this is my prayer. Do what you want. But if you're open to suggestions, Dairy Queen, right? But do what you want. So verse 24 says, Father, I ask, I will, that they also, whom thou hast given me, who does that include? Those 11 only? No, everybody, right? That those you give me, be with me where I am. In other words, I'm going to heaven. I want them there. That they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Before the world was created, God loved his Son. And Jesus was there at his Father's side. O righteous Father, the world hath not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you have sent me. They're learning to know you, in other words, but they know you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, in other words, your character, your person, and will declare it, that the love wherewith you have loved me may be in them and I in them. So that's how we'll stop it. Jesus asks his Father, everyone that truly belongs to him, every Christian, so make sure that's you and me. Make sure that your heart is there. Everyone that belongs to me, I'm asking you to let them be in heaven with me. In glory, I want them to be there with me. You think the Father's going to say no? No, you already know he's going to say yes. Do you think the Father will answer that prayer? I do. Every time a true believer dies, their body dies here on earth, God answers Jesus' prayer. Every time. And they go immediately to be with him. Every time a true Christian dies, God answers. So he's been answering that prayer a lot of times in the last few thousand years, hasn't he? To die is to go and to be with Jesus, our Lord, and behold his glory. His glory is proof that God loved Jesus before the foundation of the world.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is the radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtis, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel. God bless you.